understand how the Lord could love us that much. Amen. Well, tonight I've asked Brother Mullins to come again and bring the message. He's our missionary over in Chile, Santiago. And he preached to us the other night. They did a great job. And if nothing else, should have made us thankful for all the stuff he's been through we haven't had to go through. I know he and Martha are about to go out of state here for a little bit, some of their other commitments. And I just asked Brother Mullins if he would to come share with us again. God bless you. Good to have you.
Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate that. Good to be with you this evening. Take your Bibles. Let's turn to the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. Seventh chapter, Joshua chapter 7. I'll preach to you on this thought here tonight. Don't look. Don't look. if I could say that Marta and I are having just a time here in Haines City, we love coming back to the States. And probably something very simple for you folks, but what we really love doing when we come here is going to the grocery store, amen? Because you got so much variety of food that we just don't have down there. And so we'll be just going through the grocery store. We went the other day and went down here to this Publix down here by 27, and we was excited. I had the cart, I was pushing the cart, and so we going inside, Marta's right there with me, and we're just in awe of all of the variety that you have. You just really don't realize what you have. And so we're going up and down those aisles, and we're putting a few things in. There's just so much to choose from. I mean, it's really difficult. I mean, you just want a little bit of everything. And so I come out this one aisle, we're looping around, we're gonna go in this other one. And there was this lady standing right there with her buggy in the middle of the aisle, and she wasn't moving. And so, you know, me being the gentleman that I am, I just kind of backed up a little bit, wanted to give her plenty of room to come up out of there, you know, and she didn't move. And she just started looking all mean at me. So I smiled. And then she didn't say one word to me. Out of nowhere, she just pointed down at the ground. I was like, what? And down there on the ground was a sticker, and it had a red X on it. And it said, do not enter. I said, what in the world? And I looked down, and all of the aisles had one. One aisle said, don't enter. One said, you can enter. One said, don't do it. One said, you could do it. I said, what in the world? I said, Marta, there's a one-way road in the grocery store. And she still didn't say anything to me. She just walked out of there with her cart and went on about her way. And I said, well, I want to be in compliance. Is this because of the coronavirus? I said, I want to be in compliance. So bless God, we didn't go down that aisle. I went over to the next one and went down. And we stayed in that pattern all the way. It was a little bit inconvenient, to be honest with you, because you had to keep coming back and getting the aisle that you missed. And so I told Marta, I said, now, you know she looked like she wanted to write us a ticket. Yeah. We went all the way like that to the end. When you get over there where the meat department is, we seen her again. I told Marta, I said, there she is. Marta said, stop it. I said, man, I'd love to catch her going down one of these aisles the wrong way by mistake. I'd run over to her and not say a word. I'd just point down there at that ground. Yeah. That's some of the experiences we're having here back in the States. Amen. Joshua chapter 7 tonight. Let's read a few verses kind of to get a sense of the context here. I'm going to begin reading in verse 6. I'm going to read down probably through about verse 12. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 6. And the Bible says, and Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content to dwell on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? And the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing and have stolen, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Wherefore, therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed thing from among you. Now, I don't know about you guys, but that's some pretty powerful verses. I'm going to read to you tonight. We're going to talk about tonight. In my opinion, it's probably one of the saddest stories in the Bible. And let's pray. Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you for your precious word. And Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for the history of the word of God that we have. We can read it and understand it and even apply it to our lives. We ask, God, that you'd help us tonight and fill us, Lord God, with your spirit. Thank you for those that are here. Speak to our hearts, Lord God, by your power, by your spirit, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, this is an interesting portion of Scripture. Just give me a little history up to this date. You've got the nation of Israel. They've come out of the wilderness, as it were, for all those years under Joshua. They've conquered two kings on the other side of Jordan. They're ready to cross over the Jordan River into what the Bible calls the plains of Jericho. God tells Joshua to send the priest out there in the middle of the Jordan with the ark. When they get out there, he'd dry that water up for him just like he did for Moses when he crossed the Red Sea. And so they do that. The priests go out there. They dry that water up. They come across into the plains of Jericho there. And, of course, their focus is the city of Jericho. Their focus is to take the city of Jericho, and God's already promised he'd give it to them. And you know the story a little bit, how that he told Joshua and the nation of Israel to go to Jericho, that mighty city. And probably what made it so impressive, it probably wasn't very impressive by our standards today, but just the fact that it had those big giant walls, which was really a fortified city of that day. And so God told Joshua, I'm going to give you that city. And you go there and you march around that city for 6 days, just one time. You take the Ark of the Covenant, you take the priest, you take those seven horns, and you march around that city 6 times. You don't say a word. You just intimidate them. You just march around it 6 days in a row. And on the seventh day, you're going to march around it 7 times. And then the priest will begin to blow out those horns. And when the nation of Israel hears those horns being blown out, they will begin to shout and holler. And the Bible says that God would knock those walls down flat. That's exactly what he done. I don't have a problem believing that God would knock those walls down flat, especially after he done dried up the Red Sea and then the Jordan River, huh? I believe God could do that fairly easily, amen? And so that's what happened. Now, it's amazing to me, as you read this story, you find out that the Bible says that God told them, when the walls come down, the men of Israel, the soldiers, as it were, are going to go in with the sword, and they're going to kill every. Now, this is the part that's difficult to understand. Every man, woman, and child in the city. Right. And all of the animals. He said nothing could survive. You had to destroy it all. You couldn't take any spoils, Israel. Only the gold and the silver and the precious things would come into the treasury of the Lord. But everything else had to be destroyed. Now, as I read that, in the day and time we live in, even the 2-year-olds and the 3-year-olds, Lord, all of them. Yeah. I guess God knew that those little children will one day be big children and be another thorn in Israel's side. But nevertheless, that's what the Bible says, that they would go in and it would destroy every man, woman, and child within the city and all of the animals and not take any spoils. And I tell you what, the Hebrew people, they must have been, after all those years in the desert, they must have been some pretty tough guys. I mean, some pretty tough guys. Going there with swords and kill everything that lived inside those walls. Pretty tough guys. After they killed everybody, the Bible says they burnt the city down. Burn it all down. The coals of the city of Jericho were not even cold yet. And Joshua was already sending men to Ai. As a matter of fact, they went over there, they spied the land out. And the soldiers came back, the spies as it were, and they said, hey, you know what? It's not a very big place. Nothing like Jericho. They don't have as many soldiers. Probably 2,000 or 3,000 men could take it. There's no sense in sending the whole army to battle. Just send us over there with 2,000 or 3,000 men. Joshua sent 3,000. You guys know what happened. They go over there to take Ai, and the men of Ai came out against them, and they fled. Joshua's mighty men fled from the soldiers of Ai. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it killed 36 of them. 36 families lost their husband that day. And they came back, and we pick up our story here with Joshua on his face before the Lord. Lord, how could this be that this little town of Ai would humiliate us and destroy us in this way? And Joshua's on his face before God. And God tells him, get up off the ground or sit in the camp. Somebody had done something. Joshua brings the tribes before him. And then he brings the families before him. And then he brings the men before him. And eventually he narrows it down and finds out what the problem is. And we pick our reading up in verse 19. And the Bible says, and Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua's messenger sent, and they ran unto the tent. Behold, it was hid in the tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And laid them out, laid out all that gold, the wedge of gold, and the 200 shekels of silver, and the Babylonian garment. They laid it out before the Lord. You know, when I read this story, I can't help but to think that just maybe Achan was a good guy that just made a bad mistake. You know, the Bible doesn't really say that he was some terrible, wicked person. It doesn't say that at all. It definitely says he made a terrible mistake, and it cost him and it cost his family. But I can't help but think that maybe Achan was a decent guy. I mean, maybe he might have been a good neighbor. Probably was a good soldier. We know that the Bible says that he had a family, had a wife, had sons and daughters, had animals too. Huh? Probably Achan was a good guy. I want to think that. I want to think that Achan was a good guy. And I tell you, when Israel was marching over the walls of Jericho with their swords to take the city, I wonder how many soldiers before him saw the same Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and the wedge of gold, 50 shekels weight. I wonder how many before him saw the same thing and passed on. How many saw it and passed on? The Bible says in Achan's confession right here, he says, verse 21, he says, when I saw among the spoils, when I saw. In this verse right here, we're going to have the progression of Achan's sin. The first thing is when I saw. And then he says, then I coveted. And the third thing is he took. So there's the progression of Achan's sin. He saw it, he coveted, and he took it. Think about he saw it. When I read this, that Achan saw the silver and the gold and the Babylonian, when he saw that, hey, it wasn't just a casual glance. I mean, sometimes you got to see some stuff not to run into it, right? Yeah. Oh, you're going to see some stuff. That's not the kind. I mean, it's the kind of like the double look. Huh? Maybe the triple look. And just maybe he began to stare. Yeah, I think that's what it was. I think his soul became a stare. Yeah. I think he began to look at that Babylonian garment. I think he began to look at that 200 shekels of silver. I think he began to look at that wedge of gold. And the Bible says, he said that his stare became a covet. It became something that he just had to have. It began to infest his faults. Do you know that the things that you look at will become the things that you want in your life?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The things you look at, you can begin to covet real, real easily. We were going up here the other day to Lowe's. And man, there was a nice truck. It was a Chevrolet, four-wheel drive, like a brand new one, and it was fixed up nice. I told Marta, I said, look at that truck. She said, don't look. Don't look. That's what happened to Achan, is he began to look, and he began to covet. Huh? He began to think, man, what that money could do for me and my family. Hmm? We could take that Babylonian garment. We could make socks for everybody. We could make underwear for everybody. Nobody'd even know we had them on. Huh? Yeah. We could take that wedge of gold. Hey, you know, we're fixing to inherit the land. Huh? We could buy herds. We could dig a well. Man, what we could do. Maybe when he began to stare, maybe he began to think. He began to covet. Begin to think about what that could do for him and his family. I kind of think that Achan, maybe he had big plans for his family. Maybe he wanted his children to grow up and be somebody. Maybe he wanted them to be educated. Maybe he wanted them to marry into good families. I kind of think that Achan was a decent guy that meant well, but he made a terrible mistake. How many guys do we know, how many preachers do we know that were good men, had great ministries, and made a terrible mistake? Just one mistake. You know where that mistake began?
Right.
Yeah. With the look. Yeah. With the look. With the look that became a stare. With the stare that became a covet. And with that covet, he reached out and he took a hold of something that he should not have.
Yes.
I remember when I was a teenager going into a department store in the little redneck town that I grew up in. It might have been Walmart. This was many years ago, back when Walmart and Kmart were fighting competitive against one another. And I remember going in this department store, and I was behind this couple going in. It was a black couple. They were about 50, I guess, probably about my age now. And I was a little bit behind them, and I going in, and I heard her say to him, she said this. She said, don't let your eyes get you in trouble. She said that to him. I couldn't believe that. And even then, I knew what she was saying to him. Don't let your eyes get you in trouble. You know what? Somebody should have said that to Achan as they was going over the walls of Jericho. Achan, don't let your eyes get you in trouble. He began to stare. He began to covet. And the Bible says they reached out and he took that he had no right to be taken, because God had already told them, no spoils.
Right.
You take no spoils.
Right.
All the gold and the silver is going to come into the treasury of the Lord. So in fact, he was stealing from God. And that's exactly what God said to Joshua. He says, you've stolen. That's what he said. That's what God told him. He says, you've stolen. It's amazing also that the sin of Achan was put on the whole nation of Israel.
Right.
Yeah, it was put on the whole nation. Not only on the whole nation, but on his family as well. Let's read a couple of verses here in verse 24. It says, and Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerai, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turn from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. You know, it's amazing that when someone destroys their life, it also destroys their family.
Right.
It's amazing that the sins of Achan, the consequences of the sins of Achan, destroyed his family.
Right.
And they had done nothing wrong.
But.
Probably had some pretty daughters. Probably had some handsome sons. But the sins of Achan fell upon his family. That's the saddest part to me. Huh? That's the saddest part to me. That's why I say this is one of the saddest stories you're going to read in the Bible. Because a decent man, a good man, made a terrible mistake, and it destroyed him and destroyed his whole family.
But.
You know that happens all too often in the day and time that we live in?
Right.
You know that happens all the time? You know how it begins? With a look.
Yes.
Bless God, it starts right there. It's a look that turns into a stare. And you start taking that moment to think, huh? About how that could enhance your life, what that could do for you, how that would make you feel. And you start thinking about it long enough, eventually, you know what you're going to do? You're going to reach out there and you're going to take a hold of it. Now, that thing might not necessarily in of itself be accursed. Now, the gold, the wedge of gold, the 200 shekels of silver, the Babylonian garment, in and of itself was not the accursed thing.
Right.
But when he took it into his life, put it under his tent, brought it into his home, it became the accursed thing.
But.
It became the accursed thing that destroyed him and destroyed all his family. Man, that's so sad. Do you remember when Nathan the prophet goes to King David and he said, King, I want to tell you a story. He said, there was a rich man, had all kind of money, had all kind of herds. And he was having a big fiesta party, a big thing. He had some rich people coming over, some family coming down. And he was having a big thing in his house, and had a big barbecue. And he was too selfish to slaughter one of his own herd, that he went down to the poor man down the street that didn't have anything. Had one little ewe lamb. And the kids played with that ewe lamb. And the Bible says that lamb laid in the bosom of his chest. He loved that little lamb. And the rich man took that one little ewe lamb that he had because he could. Because he had a position. Because he had power. Because he had influence. Because he could. He took that little ewe lamb and he offered it up. And he cooked it at the barbecue for his family. Nathan says to David, what should be done to a man like that? Man, David got mad. He got mad. He said, that man will repay fourfold. Remember that? Yeah. And then Nathan stuck his finger up there in the king's face, as it were. He said, thou art the man. Thou art the man. And boy, that was a humbling experience for him. When God says, I took you from the sheepfolds and made you king over Israel. I gave you all kind of wives. And if that had not been enough, I'd have gave you more. Imagine the humbling experience for David. And God spared his life that day. But do you know that King David did repay the fourfold?
Right.
And his own children.
Right.
His own children. Yeah. Do you remember... First of all, the baby that conceived with Bathsheba, the baby did not live. As much as David prayed and begged God for the life of the child didn't live. That was one. You remember Ammon that had abused his stepsister, Tamar? You remember that? That was two. You remember that Absalom later, 2 years later, killed Ammon for the abuse of the sister? Remember that? That was three. And then do you remember Amon or Absalom? That he tried to steal the kingdom from daddy. Remember that? And do you remember he was escaping on the mule from Joab and his soldiers and got his hair caught in the thicket of the tree there? And Joab put three darts in his chest, in his heart, the Bible says. And then the men of Joab, 10 of them, circled around and put swords in him. And that was four. And David had other kids, but those are the most important ones in the Bible. He did repay fourfold. And your sin, my sin, your sin always will affect those that are closest to you.
Right.
When I think about Achan and I think about what happened to him, how he began he let a little look become a stare, and he let a stare become a covet, and he let that covet get to him where he reached out and he took something into his life and he took something into his family that he had no right touching. And it destroyed him and destroyed his family. Saddest story in the Bible.
Yes.
You know, I don't know, but maybe tonight somebody's been looking at something they ought not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it happens. I tell you what, you better get a hold of that.
But,
because that looking very quickly becomes staring.
Yes.
How many don't like to be stared at? Huh? A little bit uncomfortable, Cyrano. Let me give you the best advice I can give you. Sometimes it's best just don't look.
But,
just don't look. Just pass on by. Hey, when you see it there, when you see the wedge of gold, when you see that Babylonian garment and all the socks that it can make, when you see that 200 shekels of silver, when you see that temptation, you know what you need to do? Just pass on by.
But,
you think this is only for young folks? Oh, no. It's for older folks, too.
But,
yeah. The Bible says, your eye affecteth the heart. Who was it? Was it Job that said, I made a covenant with my eyes?
Right.
Huh? I'm telling you that most of our problems begins right here in the things you look at.
Yep. It does.
That's what happened to Achan. And I feel so bad for him. I feel so bad for his family. Even all of these years later, when I think about that, his sons and his daughters. You know, quite sure there are some good families at Landmark tonight. Love their kids. They want the best for their family. They want to excel in the things that life has. Maybe you even want the fancy truck. I swear I began to covet just a little bit when I was looking at that truck. It's easy to do. You got to walk away.
Right.
Huh? I'm sure there are some folks here that want the best for their family. Huh? I'm sure here there are some daddies that want the kids to turn out right. Want them to marry good boys or marry good girls, have good families, have good grandkids. I tell you, do you know how easy it is to destroy everything? Say, it can't happen to me. Oh, it can.
Yes.
It can. It's happened to better than you. It's happened to better than me.
Right.
Huh? Oh, it could happen. Friend, many times I find that in life we have to just look away.
But.
Just pass on by.
Amen.
I understand you have to see some things not to run into it. I understand that. Huh? But when you start to do the double look, when you start to be a little bit too friendly.
Yes.
Huh? When you start to stare.
Yes.
You're going to start getting in trouble.
But.
Because the things that you're staring at pretty soon will become a covet in your heart.
Right.
And in your mind. And you may be staring for months. You may be staring for years. Never knowing that covetousness is building in your heart. And one day, just one day, just one day in Jericho, he reached out and he took hold of it. And he was shaken. And he was nervous. And he'd never done this before.
Yeah.
And that sin destroyed him. It not only destroyed him, it destroyed his family. Friend, the most precious thing that we have is our family. And it's easy to think this is for the men. Oh, it's for the women also.
Yes.
Let me give you the best advice that I can give you. Sometimes it's best just don't look.
Right.
Sometimes it's best just to pass on. Huh? Just pass on. How many Hebrews that day saw the same thing that Achan saw? And passed on.
But.
Huh? And passed on. I'm so thankful that even though we've seen so many terrible mistakes, Baptist churches, Baptist pastors, Baptist families over the last generation. We've seen so many mistakes, and we've also seen a lot of successes, a lot of good men, a lot of good women, a lot of good families that saw the same stuff and passed on. That's right. You know, no one can prepare you for that wedge of gold. No one can prepare you for that 200 shekels of silver. No one can prepare you for that Babylonian garment. You're going to see it one day. It's going to come out of nowhere. And it might not be a wedge of gold. It might be something else. But you're going to take that. You're going to want to do the double look. And at that moment, you better remember Achan. And friend, you better just pass on. Just pass on. I tell you what, we live in a day and time when there is sin and temptation and a world going to hell all around us.
Right.
And friend, you got to make it a part of your character. Don't be too friendly. I'm telling you, it's just the way, especially in the ministry, you just can't be too friendly. You know,
right.
I mean, you be friendly, but you got to maintain a little bit of a distance. Huh? Because that wedge of gold and that 200 shekels of silver, bless God, sometimes starts looking pretty good. Huh?
Yes.
Hey, that new truck? Mercy. Yeah. And you can apply it to your life any way you want. Every person is different. Man, woman, young person. But that thing that you're staring at could become the accursed thing for your family. And if it is, and if it does, I'm telling you that it can destroy you. And it won't just destroy you. It won't just hurt you. It'll hurt those that are closest to you. It'll hurt those that are looking up to you. It'll hurt your church. It'll hurt your congregation. It'll hurt your young people. It'll hurt them. When Achan was standing there before Joshua, and the men had took them out there to the Valley of Achor, I see in my mind Achan on his knees, crying, with his little girls and his sons around him. I see the big sobs of repentant tears. I see the fear. And I see Joshua in the back. And I think, what is Joshua thinking at this moment? Is he thinking about those sons and daughters of Achan? And I say, no. He's thinking about the 36 families that lost their father because of his sin. He's thinking about the 36 wives that are not going to receive their husbands back from Ai because of his sin. Friend, the best advice that I can give you is don't look.
No.
Just don't look. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Let's stand with our heads bowed. We have heard a powerful message tonight of truth. Perhaps as you heard the preaching tonight, and as Brother Mullins did such a good job on telling you how it started with a look and a stare, and then the coveting and the taking, maybe some picture come up in your mind, something you've been staring at. Something has already maybe moved even to where if you'd tell the truth, you're already coveting it. Maybe this message was for you tonight to head you off before you went any further. Tonight, the invitation is not so much to come get saved. If you're here lost, we'd be so glad to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved and know it. But you might save your family by this message tonight causing you to turn away and not look any longer, not be tempted any longer. I agree with him. That's a sad story. I feel sorry for Achan's wife and kids. I feel sorry for what sin did in the midst of the camp. Boy, we've moved to a day and time to we need to take warning. Everything around us, from the TV to the store we go in, is geared to catch your eye, to tempt you. The Bible warns about the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye. It says the lust of this world will pass away. It's dangerous. We're in a minefield of sin set up to trap us. And does it hurt? It hurts the family. It hurts the church. It hurts the cause of Christ. What a good warning for us tonight. Father, I pray you'd bless the invitation. Let us be honest with ourselves and look in our heart. And Father, if we've got that seed of sin sprouting up, if it's becoming more than a look, come a stare, or something we're mesmerized by and we're dreaming about, that, Lord, it could be another person. It could be something that we shouldn't have that's going to hurt us, something we're going to do that's going to hurt us. I pray, Father, you've sent us a message tonight from your man that will give us a warning and that we'll heed that warning. I pray you'd bless the invitation now. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts and we'd be honest before you. And thank you for putting a big stop sign up in front of somebody tonight that's almost already crossed over the wall and already looking at what they shouldn't be looking at. Pray you'd bless the invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. Might be a good time to come to the altar and say, Lord, I don't want to be an Achan. I don't want to pay the price. Sin has a very high price to it. Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it as we sing.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give.
How about you tonight?
I will ever.
Can you thank God for speaking to your heart tonight?
In his presence.
Reminding you that it's a dangerous thing to touch the accursed thing, the thing that's forbidden.
I surrender.
As we sing, will you come?
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender.
Sing another verse, Hector. We got plenty of time, and maybe God's doing a work in our hearts tonight.
To thee my mind.
You know, I preach a lot against the mess the world's in, the sin that's everywhere, and how much damage it's doing. Yet the truth is, we have too much sin in the count, in God's count. Too much sin, even in the house of God. The Bible says, the writer says, that when he went into the house of God, he found even evil there. If you read the Old Testament close, you'll find out that the Sodomites, the homosexuals, built their little houses and tents close to the temple. God condemned it, and they paid a price. Israel paid a price. If the church of God stayed as clean on the inside as it should have, we'd have so much power in this world, the outside would be affected by it. That's where when you hear an old preacher get up and say, I'm blaming the preachers for this. So I know what he's talking about. We don't call sin what it is anymore. Raise enough sand about keeping our own houses clean. Lost our power to influence the world like maybe the old timers did. That's too bad. Too bad. What a powerful message, Brother Mullins. What a great message for us tonight. Layer on top of layer. Did you just, as he went through the message, just follow the steps downward? Started with a look. I think that'll help us, Brother Mullins. Not only here in the room, but maybe on the radio waves and on the live streaming and all the rest of it. I thank you for it. Tell me now, are you y'all about to leave pretty soon to travel? Be in prayer for them. You know, I'm still hearing bad things. The world spooked so bad over this virus. I was talking with somebody tonight for service. The flu's still been going on. We've had folks have a little flu. But the flu last year in Florida, killed more people than this corona thing has this year. But look what got the publicity. Look what's being used in the propaganda. But pray for folks that are having regular troubles. Hospitals are all saying, we don't have anything to do. Why? Because they scared folks into not coming for the regular things they would have come for. And they're reaping for that right now. World's all in a mess with all the deception and all the bad stuff that's going on. But if God's church stayed clean and powerful, we'd have a much stronger voice out there to help the world. We sure would. Brother Mullins, come on down here. Give folks a chance to come shake hands with you and pray for them. What I started to say was this virus thing, I saw where the state police or the highway patrol in one or two states was stopping traffic out on the road, moving from one state to another. I was supposed to preach in a meeting up in Chicago, and I was actually afraid to drive. I was afraid I'd be quarantined somewhere in some state before I ever got there. That's a mess, isn't it? Wouldn't think that would ever happen in America, would we? But it has. Anyway, that's great preaching tonight. Great truth expounded from the Word of God. Amen. All right. Wave or shake hands or bow, courtesy, whatever you want to do to each other. Let's be dismissed.